Praise the Lord. The time is running so fast. A hymn writer sings, how quickly the time passes. Friend, remember, soon eternity comes where one can't anymore. And I believe that we redeem the time the best when we prepare for eternity. And this is always under the sound of the Word of God. A bad meeting is better than none. Oh yes, but there is no bad. Every meeting, no matter how it runs, it will have something to say and give to everyone. In every meeting, we can take something with us. We already heard the word of introduction. It fully fits to what was presented already, especially last night, that God has appointed us that we shall bring forth fruit and that our fruit remains. The nice thing is that it happens without any own effort, that one doesn't have to carry the fruit to the tree, but that the fruit comes forth, driven by the power, by the life, by the sap that is in this tree. And therefore, it is the fruit of the life that is in the tree. And you all know whereto this aims. Christ in us, we in Him, and the Spirit of God who works all things. I read this verse again. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This is a very serious word, but understandable for everyone. If you tear off even the smallest thing from a tree, be it a leaf, a twig, a fruit, a branch, and take it away, then it's gone forever. You will never be able to put it back there. Therefore, the serious admonition, abide in me, and my words in you, ye in me, and I in you. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he will take away. About this, we don't have to worry about. We shall worry about that we abide in him. Also here, one can see the swapping of roles that one wants to take away right away. No, he will do this then. For this, there is no commission for somebody of us. And then also the emphasis, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The branches are a product of the vine. They come forth from the vine. They are joined with him, not grafted in later on, but they come forth from him. You understand this. The side of Christ was opened on Calvary, and the redemption took place. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. As Eve was taken out of Adam, so the church was taken out of Christ. He the firstborn among many brethren. Do we understand this fully? Oh yes, we have been brought back into the divine stand. We have been made sons and daughters of God. If we received and accepted the redemption and experienced it. Briefly, some thoughts especially about how one has to come to the Lord. Our attitude towards Him counts, and not only the words, but that the thing is correct, which we say. I anyway wanted to read from Mark chapter 12, but before I read verse 34, I would like to read from verse 14, maybe even from verse 13. Mark chapter 12, from verse 13. Here it is written, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Whoever stops here, he thinks that great things have happened there, that a conversion of the heart took place. There comes a delegation to the Lord and addresses him as Master and say, you speak the truth, you don't regard the person, and you teach the way of God in truth. What a compliment. If someone came to me like that and I would not have the gift of discernment, this would bring a smile over my face. Yes, but listen what comes then. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, he said unto them, why tempt ye me? They come to the Lord, address him like believers would address him. Sounds good. Did you all get it? They even said, Master, we know that you are true and regardest not the person. It was a nice compliment, and yet full of cunning and deceit. This is the point that matters. Not only the words which we speak, not only the questions which we ask, the compliments that we make. Who was it? Somebody told it to me even yesterday, that a brother has said in one breath, Brother Branham was a great man of God, but a false prophet. I think you know your way around, for we are in the land of poets and thinkers. Germany, the land of poets and philosophers. Who can put this together? A great man of God. And they go even further. They say, the greatest man of God since the days of the apostles. And then comes that certain something. No. Make the tree good, and then its fruit is good. Is the tree rotten, then its fruit is rotten. If it's a good tree, it will bring forth good fruits. If it's a man of God, then he's of God. If he is not of God, then he is not of God. Finish. Not more. Either a thing is right or it's not. But we know how it is. Also back then, when the ministry of John made a great impression, then the scribes sometimes didn't dare to say something, because they feared the people. The same was with the ministry of our Lord. Reverence was among the people, but they were always looking for a rat run that they also found, to then, as it is written here, to catch the Lord in his words. There are really people, they come only to find something what they can object to, And to them, God cannot reveal himself. This will not work. We must, with a sincere heart, come to the Lord and must speak the truth with a heart, not only to him, but also to one another. For thus it is written in Ephesians chapter 5, do not lie one to another. We shall speak the truth with one another. Let us come back to our subject with the kingdom of God. Here in Mark 12, from verse 32, it says as follows. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Very nice, a wonderful testimony. It corresponds fully to the Jewish, and thanks be to God, also to our faith. There is only one God, who reveals himself in heaven as Father, on earth in the Son, and in us through the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, God in us, always one and the same God. So, there is but one God. Then it continues in verse 33. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now comes the verse. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dared to ask him any question. This is my point. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. One can be close to the kingdom of God and yet not being in the kingdom of God. So we must come into the kingdom of God to then have part in what is happening in the kingdom of God. Let us go on to the Gospel of Luke. Also here, again, it speaks of the kingdom. Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. As we read, he turned to his disciples, who left everything and who followed him, regardless of the consequences, whatever comes or goes, no matter how great the damage they suffer as a result. They have given up their profession, everything they left behind, and followed the Lord. Outwardly, they had nothing, but inwardly they were rich. And therefore the Lord says to them, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I think here on the rich man and the young man. No, it's the other way around. On the rich man and Lazarus. In any case, from God's point of view, the rich man was very poor. Very poor. Suddenly, the Lord God can say, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then everything is left behind. What good is then your riches, your fame, and reputation when your soul is lost? Therefore, our Lord said, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It is about our soul. And it says, every soul that sinneth shall die. We went through this here. It is about the soul. The soul that does not believe commits the sin of unbelief. And the Lord said, if you don't believe that I am He, then you shall die in your sin. The soul can commit only one sin. The body can commit hundreds of sins. But the soul can commit only one sin against God. And this is not to believe what He said, to face Him in unbelief, to doubt His word, to question Him. And this one may not do. A soul that would like to stand its ground before God must believe God. And therefore, also the promise toward Christ our Lord, the Messiah, when Moses gave it in Deuteronomy 18, it is recited in the New Testament. And it says in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You see what it is about? Here it's not only about Isaiah or Jeremiah, whether one believed them or not. Here it is about the prophet of all prophets, about the Lord Himself, who was now the Word becoming flesh. Through the prophets, God spoke and announced. Through them came the Word. In Christ, the Word became divine reality. And here spoke the one who had spoken through all the prophets. And then it says of him, every soul that will not hear that prophet, we sing in a hymn, he is king, priest, and prophet. He is also prophet. He is priest. He is king. He is advocate. He is mediator. He is many things. He is even servant. You can read it. The apostles prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name, I rather read it to you, that you know. Acts chapter 4, in verse 27 it says, for of a truth against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Here it is in particular about that Jesus was also called servant. For thus it is written in Isaiah 42, behold my servant in whom my soul delighteth, he will succeed. Do you all know the Bible? I hope that we know it. But we know he who took upon him the form of a servant, he was the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. But he put off his divinity and became man to redeem mankind from its humanity and to bring it back into divinity. One thing is needed: to believe what the Lord has said. Every soul who does not hear What the Lord says is doomed to die. The life comes from God. Life comes through the Word and the Spirit. The life that was in the blood came back on the church, and therefore we received it. But we must pay attention that we believe every word, not only what fits into our concept. Something all believe, even the devil, and he would come first when it comes to belief. He believes quite a lot, but he also believes that he can twist the word as it suits. And right this we don't believe. We believe that God's word has to be left in the original. Let us take one point, the point of water baptism, according to the Bible. That theologians argue about it is incomprehensible for us. For the Lord spoke so clearly, "Go into all the world, teach all nations," and so forth. And then he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Today infants are brought into the church by the parents, and the parents don't believe. Did I tell this to you, Brother Kupfer? I don't know where. In any case, I met a couple from Lyon in the city of Prague. I just went through the hall and I heard that they speak French, and I always wanted to have an opportunity, wherever it might be, to somehow polish up my French a bit. So I was very glad to meet this nice couple from Lyon, and I asked them where they want to go. They were on their way to Auschwitz, and you all know this is a very delicate subject for us, and it doesn't fit here at all. But then it came over my lips, the subject Auschwitz and all the other death camps is not a German subject, but it comes onto the account of the Roman Catholic Church. And I tell you, there I of course caused something with my stammering. There this man says very seriously, he said three things in one breath. "I'm French, I'm Catholic, and I'm an atheist." And you can imagine how I felt. As quick as a shot, these three things, which fit together nicely. Please pardon me, Brother Kupfer, you are the only one with a French passport in our midst. But such we have in every country. But this was really a mighty surprise. Yes, I'm French, I'm Catholic, and I'm an atheist. And actually I wanted to tell him something of the Lord, and I was not allowed. And there I noticed that the people are bound to the church, but are loosened from God. And this is the worldwide catastrophe. Mankind was practically loosened from God and made there a man to be a holy father. And we shall be silent about it? No, we will not. And even it costs our life. After all, we have only one, and this we dedicated to the Lord. It belongs to Him. He has given it to us. We can give it back to Him. Oh yes, we will still preach the biblical truths freely and openly. The time for it has come. About what did we speak? Let us still go to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Here it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Did we all read and hear? The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. You all know, some take it with eating in this way and the others in that way. Some don't eat this meat, the others not that. This has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in regulations about eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then the sentence goes on, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Such a person will never cause strife. He will know how one eats. Also then, if that what is being put on the table would not be according to his rules. But until now, I always succeeded. You all know, I told it to you. When at a Chinese meal in Jakarta, the brother asked me whether I also eat seafood. Yes, seafood. I said, certainly. And I thought fishes are meant. With seafood, I meant fish. And right now, you don't sit at a table. But a little cheer may also be good for the soul. In any case, there came a huge plate, as I didn't see it before. And it was placed in reverence into the midst of the table. This table was at least 6 meters long. There were VIPs invited. And when this plate came onto the table, there I didn't need any glasses. I saw how the frogs were stretching their legs. And all kinds of things were on it. It was just impossible. Impossible. In me, everything was cramping together. And this parson says then, it was a kind man, a Chinese. And he said, now Brother Frank will give thanks. And do you know what I did? I stood up and said, for this I will not give thanks. And then I had to clarify what I mean by seafood. Yes, but that's how it can go. That's how sometimes misunderstandings can come up. And then nevertheless, I came to my right. So let us come back to the Word of God. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. To also say this now, that it's complete. I said to the people, enjoy your meal. When they are so strong in the faith that they can eat frogs, then I have to marvel at this. And I ate my chicken and they were eating their frogs. But I had no quarrel with them. Quarreling, this others can do. For this we are not sent. We can, when it fits, we can make a remark. And not only that, but by the scripture we can give a hint so that people ponder on it. But a quarrel about eating or drinking, this doesn't belong into the kingdom of God. It just doesn't fit in there. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness, in peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let us read on. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. Look, one can direct a conversation in this or in that direction, namely on a collision course. And one can direct a conversation for edification. And right this God wants. God wants to make people out of us who know to behave in every situation among believers and unbelievers, in every country, in every city, with the rich and the poor, in every situation, to know how to behave, to be a right testimony and a blessing for others. It says here, follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. In verse 20 it says, for food destroy not the work of God. Can you imagine that people, on the other hand, in the faith, can be so weak that when it's about a meal and one touches their things there, which they look at to be very holy, then they suffer shipwreck. That's how much worth was to them their special food. When you scotch their food, then their faith is scotched. And also this is not right. You shouldn't make anything special out of anything. And if somebody does it, then do it for yourself and keep it for yourself. Let us read on in verse 21, maybe verse 20 also. For food destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Can you imagine? Even when you eat some food, not in faith, but in doubt, you can feel otherwise. Yes? Everything must be able to be done with a good conscience. If someone, where was it? I hope I don't insult our friends. I have always the impression there are genuine friends. There are people who eat horse meat. And one day I was asked about this, and I said, absolutely not, no, never, it's impossible. And then I was asked, how come that I reject this? No, everyone has really the opportunity to decide freely. What are we up to today? Why did Paul also write these things? So that believers use their brain for earthly things and don't make a discussion out of it, to by this grieve the spiritual fellowship, to thus contribute to the destruction and not for the edification. Do you see how important it is with reasoning, with a brain, to also judge things earthly? And if we are going to judge something, then at the most the food, but not the brother who eats the frogs or the horse or the other, the pig. Everybody eats something. What can I for it? But that we please don't judge the brother or the sister, at the most the thing which they eat, and then we keep our judgment for us. The brother and the sister we don't judge at all. To them we say nothing. We let them do what they do, so that we contribute for the edification and not for the destruction. Paul goes on and writes, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And it's really like this. He who can't cope inwardly with his conscience, what happens then? He gets into trouble. He gets into trouble. And also this must not be. No, let everyone decide freely for himself. For here Paul lines it out in verse 22 as follows. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Amen. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. But don't burden it on someone else. Did we get it? Don't burden it on someone else. Have it to thyself, for it fits for you. But unto another, don't burden it on him, but leave the other as he is. It continues. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Can you imagine? It burdens us. It burdens our conscience if someone does something about which he feels guilty. It depresses him. It burdens him. It makes him sad. Yes, it can give him a hard time. And therefore, we shall have certainty about that what we do, so that we don't have to feel guilty later on. In chapter 15, verse 1, we read, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Also, this can happen. And I tell you, nothing is worse, and nothing is closer to Pharisaism than complacency. That you can eat and drink exactly right and always doing things right and so forth in your own eyes. Complacency can be far away from a life that is pleasing to God. What would you have said if you had seen John the Baptist eating locusts? Then it would have given you creeps. But you would not have been offended. Or? Absolutely not. You would have continued to hear the word of God, right or not? Or would you have walked away, shaking your head, and said, "This may not be true." Oh yes, he has a right to it, and it did well to him. Yes, everything at its place, not being offended. What was it? Brother Branham was eating squirrels. Yes, Brother Knigge, you are shaking your head now. But it just was like this. With us, to think about it, it's almost impossible. And once he even ate himself so full that he said, "I'm sorry, but I have to confess to you, I can't preach well today because I ate too much." And then the man on the platform calls out, "Too many squirrels." And yes, that's how it was. See, he was just a human being. Also the prophets were human beings. And we received the word, but also something more. What the believers many times lack is a careful consideration before they say something. My friend Hans Keck, he saw today in my flat a poster. I can't recite it exactly. He read it. Something like that. "Dear God, help me to keep my big mouth shut, at least so long until I know what I'm talking about." And this he liked so much, and I gave it to him as a gift. Not as an insult, but as a memory that one first thinks and then speaks. But now to all of us, among friends, one may say this here. Now to us, how much damage and heartbreak we could have saved ourselves and others if we would have first considered the effect of that what we were about to say. And maybe we would have bitten on our tongue, not biting it off, but to make us attentive. Don't do it. It will not produce anything good. Everyone, may he be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here Paul continues in Romans 15, verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Do we see what it is about? A life pleasing to God, in the kingdom of God, that is not in eating and drinking and in earthly regulations. The kingdom of God is in divine righteousness, in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And such people who receive divine justification, who have peace with God, yes, these are people who can be a blessing for others. And such people we would like to become. To do nothing with bossiness, but really everything for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. Let us not forget this weekend and the main subject. The Lord will have a church at the end before he will establish his kingdom visibly on this earth. He will have a church without spot and without wrinkle, redeemed in his blood, purified by his word, sealed with his spirit, a church unblameable, untouchable, justified, purified, and sanctified, everything by grace. And we want to believe it with all our heart, that God has done it in Christ, and not that he will still do it. No matter where our spiritual stand might be, and what we experienced already, or what we will still experience, let us hold on to the fact that this is a finished work of redemption. And also them whom God redeemed in Christ, they are in the eyes of God already perfected for eternity. Also this is written in the Holy Scripture, should be in Hebrews, that God, by one sacrifice, once for all, he brought us unto perfection. You can read it in Hebrews 9 and in Hebrews 10. These are the two chapters which in particular speak about it. You can read especially chapter 9, where it speaks of that he has done it. And then we can follow him into the heavenly sanctuary, for he is the high priest of good things to come. That's how it is written here in Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, and so forth, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9, verse 12. As I said earlier, you can all read on. Let us believe it with all our heart. Let us thank God for it, that He counted us worthy to come into His kingdom, to be born into it. According to the scripture, ye must be born again, otherwise you cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone having part in it. First, we must be born into it, to be able to see it and to experience it and to have part in it. May God bless us all and be with us, letting His wonderful word have an effect in us, making it alive, and may He give us the quickening power which lets His word become divine reality in us, so that also we could live out His word for the glory of His name, that we ourselves would be written letters, as the apostle writes, read by all men. May God give it to me, may He give it to all of us. By His grace, may His name be hallowed, may His kingdom come, and may His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.